I just wanted this morning to talk about something. I don't know if you're anything like me. The new year comes and you celebrate, and then the anxieties start coming and you start worrying, what's this year going to bring? When, Lord, are you going to sort out these things, these issues that I'm going through, these whatever it is, be it finances, whatever it is that we're going through. And just this morning, we kind of preach on this Matthew 6 scripture. We all know, or if we know our Bibles well, we know that this scripture covers anxiety in an amazing way. I want to kind of bring it from a different angle this morning. We will read from verse 19. So if you're anything like me, the new year comes and we worry about our health problems. I don't have any health problems. But I'm now 30, 31, I'm unfit, and I'm starting to feel it. We worry about our finances, and I know even for a lot of us, like, this has been an ongoing issue. We worry about these things that are going to happen this year, and Jesus tells us not to worry. And so, like I said, we just want to take it from a different angle this morning, maybe looking at it in a unique way. We'll read from verse 19. It says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Verse 24, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life." Therefore, in light of everything he just said about serving God and money, thieves breaking in and stealing, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Yes, it is. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? Let's go down to verse 31. "Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." So this morning I want to kind of present to us two ways of living. We'll call the one the old way, and one the new way. The one way is the road, the wide road that everyone travels on, that the world travels on, that we're encouraged to constantly travel on. The one is the narrow road. The one way leads to anxiety, the other way leads to freedom. One way, I'm calling the quest and the pursuit of a better life. The other way is the quest and the pursuit of a better hope. Now, the world is all about getting a better life. I decided to take a look at Amazon.com's top 20 books, see what I could see. And within that, there were obviously biographies, there were some fiction stories. But listen to a couple of the titles that came out. The Happiness Manifesto, How Nations and People Can Nurture Well-Being. The 4-Hour Body, An Uncommon Guide to Rapid Fat Loss, Incredible Sex, and Becoming Superhuman. Veganist or Veganist, I don't know how you pronounce it. Lose Weight, Get Healthy, Change the World. The Investment Answer, The 5 Key Decisions Every Investor Needs to Make. The Publication Manual of the American Psychological Association, the 6th edition. Don't know how that got up there. New Rules of Lifting for Abs. The Lean Belly Prescription. The Fast and Foolproof Diet and Weight Loss Plan from America's Top Agent Care Doctor. And a little book called Sexy Forever, How to Retain Your Sexiness the Rest of Your Life. This is the world. If it is anything we can, Jesus says, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? Those titles just cover all three of those so marvelously. It's the quest for a better life. And this morning, I want to almost show that in many ways, sometimes we, even as Christians, we get onto this road for the better life. We're looking for the better life. We're looking for things to be better, and we know that God wants to bless us. And there's always that age-old time when the blessings become more than God, and then we've lost the plot. There are many things that we want blessings in our lives that are good things. We want strong families. We want wonderful marriages. We want, you know, not just material things. We want nice houses and nice gardens, and we also want good things that are good things. And the minute these good things start becoming more than God, we actually lose the plot. And God has set us to be free from those sorts of things. He has set us to be free from worrying and pursuing and constantly anxious about what we will wear, what we will drink. Now, the fact is that life is hard. And obviously, when I was a teenager, I thought my parents were crazy. It's not that hard. They just need to do all the right things because I'm so amazing and I know everything. And then life will work out. And what we see from these books, even when we walk into a Christian bookstore, and it really sometimes gets me a bit. Walk into the Christian bookstore and you'll see the same titles on the Christian bookshelves, except it's spiritualized a bit. You know, how to do marriage God's way, how to raise kids God's way. And we want these principles, and they're good. But if we're so concerned about doing everything God's way and taking God's principles and applying them so that we can get what we want, so we can get the better life, then we're on the wrong road. We're on the wrong quest, and we're on the wrong pursuit. God has come to give us a better hope, a much, much better hope, not for what the world is looking. We're always looking for the latest method, the secret of what's the formula, Lord? We'll say to the Lord, what shall we do? What must I do, Lord God? I want this thing. Just tell me what it is I must do to get this thing. Show me your word. Open your word to me and show me the principle, the formula I must apply to get what it is I want to get. Obviously, the word is full of principles. It's full of things that we need to do. I mean, there are certain things that are obvious. If you walk out into the highway in front of a car, the chances are that you're going to get ridden over are very, very high. There's a slim chance that you might not. Maybe they'll swerve out the way. Nothing's predictable. The old way of living is very much what we do is the old covenant, where God said to the Israelites, he said, if you obey my instructions, then it will go well with you. As Christians, we take that and we say, very well, if I obey God's instructions, it'll go well with us. Go well with me. Where's my little book of scriptures? Here we go. Besides this one. In Hebrews 7, 18, verse 19 says, a better hope is introduced, looking at the old covenants and comparing it to the new. A better hope is introduced by which we draw near to God. There's a very strong possibility that God has a different agenda than we do. Our agenda is for a better life. His agenda is to draw near to us. That's what he opened up with the new covenant. Bible doesn't just give us a better way to live. It's not just another book on the shelf to say, yeah, it's another one amongst many. Yeah, it's another formula. Maybe try this one out. When I was a young Christian, there were two goals that I thought that I had to do to extend God's kingdom. Firstly, I had to make sure people understood that Christianity was also cool. And secondly, I had to show people that actually, you do things God's way, it all works out for you. So this is the better choice if you're looking for a life out there, a formula out there that will work. This thing works. Then I hit my 20s like we all do, and things start falling apart. You start realizing, I do this, and it doesn't work out. Why is it that guy did this, this, and this? I did this, this, and this, and it went completely opposite. You know, we apply these principles. We say, how do I do business God's way? Well, I don't know. We'll pick someone that we think is amazing. Well, he did this, he did this, he did this. Now I'm going to apply that to my business. I did this, I did this, I did this. It falls apart. We say to God, God, I did things your way. It didn't work out. Did you lie to me? How does our theology cope with disappointment? How does our theology cope when life gets hard? And we're saying, but Lord, you said pray. You said do this. You said do that. But it's not working out. Is God a liar? Is he a man that he should lie? No. Maybe we need to understand that God has a very different agenda to what we do. We look for the better life. He wants to give us something greater, something better, something that will sustain us when the bad circumstances come, something that will give us joy. Dave spoke about it a few weeks ago. Joy in our circumstances. We are above our circumstances because even in our circumstances, Jesus has come to give us joy, 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 and abundant joy so we can get through them. Now, obviously, I'm not saying that God doesn't want to bless us. I believe he does. But I believe he's also got something different, he has a very different agenda. And hopefully we can unpack that this morning. Adam and Eve really gave up God for knowledge, didn't they? It was the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And they said that they would rather have knowledge than God. And that's really what it amounts to, isn't it? I'd rather know what I must do, what the formula is, and have God and be in a relationship with God. And that's essentially what they chose. The tree of knowledge of good and evil over an intimacy, over a relationship with God, over relying on his spirit, and then relying on him to give us today our daily bread. Now, how often do we do that? I believe sin, a nice way of defining sin for me at least, is when we value something more than God. Anything that we value more than God always, always leads to sin. If we value money more than God, and sometimes we don't realize we do, but if we do, it'll lead to sin. It'll lead to something, whether it's being a miser, or whether it's being greedy, or whether it's being a spendthrift, whatever it is, lead to something. You know? And God has come to set us free from that. Set us free from the anxieties, from the fears that we have over our health, the fears that we have over our careers. Where's our career going? Now, I don't know if you're anything like me, but I find myself asking God these questions, and then he's like, you've lost the plot again. Sort yourself out, or I'll sort you out. And I think that's the grace that God says, I'll sort you out. Just come to me, into my presence, and I'll sort you out. We worry about our career. Where's our career going? We worry about our health. You know, that funny pain in the chest that keeps coming back. We don't know what it is. We worry about whether or not we will we die and not having lived. I want to see the world, you know. And I wonder, and I'm so worried, Lord, what if I die tomorrow and I didn't really get to see the world? I didn't get to have the adventure I wanted to get. You know, we worry about those sorts of things. And if life is boring, God has come to actually redeem us, even in the midst of life. For most people is boring. If we really look at it objectively, very few people will get to go out there and travel the world and everything. And the quest of life, everyone tells us the quest and the goal is to try and get as much life out as you can. Obviously, if you don't have God, you're going to try and get as much life out as you can because that's the only place you can get life. God has come to give us his life, eternal life. His life placed it in us so there's joy, even in the midst of the boring job. Man, my job, you know, doesn't feel like gives me any meaning in life. It's so unfulfilling. God comes and God says, I will give you my spirit. I'll give you my joy in the midst of that boring job because actually there's something better than a fulfilled job or fulfilling job. There's something better than everything, though. There's something better than abs and being sexy forever and all those sorts of things. So that's the better life. That's really what the better life is, the quest and pursuit of a better life. The danger for us as Christians, as I've said, is when we start taking God's word and start saying, fine, now I know what to do, and now I don't need God anymore. And we might not say that. We might not say, I don't need God anymore. But actually, deep down in our hearts, we're saying, I do need God because I need to know his answers. I need to know his knowledge. I need to know his formula. And that's about as far as our needing God goes. You know, it wouldn't make sense if I sit there to Shannon, I need Shannon because, I don't know, I need her amazing answers as a woman. He's always right. But, she'll remember that. But, you know, it wouldn't make sense if we approach our relationships in that way. And God is wanting to give us something deeper, something better, a better hope. Paul said this in Philippians 3. I love the scripture. He says, I count everything. Everything means everything. I count everything as loss. Some translations even say as garbage or rubbish. because, or compared to, the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. That's not a knowing as in a knowledge of what do I do, what's the formula for life. That's a knowing as in I know you, I know the Lord, I know Jesus, I know him. I know him deeply, I know him intimately, I know him mystically, I know him. The surpassing value. And can we say that even about the good things of our lives? I count a good family as loss compared to the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. I count a good marriage as loss compared to the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. God wants us to have good marriages. He wants us to have good families. Of course he does. When we compare it to himself, to God, there's no comparison. Surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Let's talk about the better hope. Better hope is the glory of God. When we say the glory of God, sometimes we might think in very human terms, well, you know, a king walks through the streets and he's so glorious because he's the king and he has a scepter, and if you do what he tells you to do, everything will be fine, and if you don't, there's trouble. You know, so I must worship him. And so that's not the, when God talks about his glory, when the Bible talks about his glory, there's something deeper than just that. When we look at a beautiful sunset or a sunrise or the ocean or a lake, something that just responds, ignites something in our hearts, and we respond to it. We just respond to it. We sometimes see beautiful sunsets from our porch, and Shane calls me out and says, come take a look. We just respond to it. We're like, wow, look at this. Look at the sunset. It's glorious. That's the glory of God. It's beautiful. Something to gaze at, something to admire. We just respond. There's no, I don't need to understand everything. I just respond. Wow. And we sing that sunset's praises, and that's what God means by his glory. The surpassing value of his glory, being able to gaze at his glory and just enjoy him, enjoy his presence. That's what God's come to give us. In the midst of our circumstances, in the midst of life going wrong, we sing all these sorts of songs constantly about, Lord, you know, if it all goes wrong, I still want you. And then when it happens, saying, what happened there? Remember that song we sang 2 weeks back? Do we mean it or don't we mean it? The rubber does hit the road. It will hit the road for every single one of us. At some stage, we will be challenged. What do we value more? Do I value the better life? Even though there's so many good things there, and it's so ingrained to us, you know, turn around to someone and say to them that God means more to me than my family. People are like, oh my word, that's so harsh. How can you say that? You know? Jesus says, unless you hate your brothers and your sisters, you're not worthy of me. Obviously, we know Jesus is talking, he's talking in hyperbole there. He's using an exaggerated statement to jolt us into responding, into saying, what? Is that the kind of comparison we need to be having? You know? You say that into the world and people think you're mad. How can? Because we need to experience God for ourselves. We need to know him for ourselves to know how someone could turn around and in good conscience say, God means more to me than my family. And that doesn't mean that God wants me to run away from my family. That doesn't mean God doesn't want me to do what it is I must do for my family, to lead my family as a man or whatever it is and love my wife. It means if we compare, God means more. Romans 5 verse 2, we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. God is on a different agenda. We think that we should only rejoice. The world will tell us. Only time you're happy is when there's no problems. That's when you must be happy. So you must do everything in your power to make sure that there's no problems, and then you can be happy. God's on a different agenda. Rejoice in your sufferings, says the word, knowing that that suffering produces an endurance, and an endurance produces character. The character produces hope, more hope, rejoicing in the hope of the glory of God. Romans 8 verse 18, I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Comparing it to that beauty, to that glory, to that majesty of God. Verse 21 says, we will share in that glory with God. You and I, who believe in Jesus, will share in God's glory. We will share in that beauty. We will share in that magnificence. We will share in that magnitude. We will share in that absolute, there's no words to describe it. We will share in it. That's something more to hope for than even a better family. No eye has seen, says 1 Corinthians 2. No eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. Our hearts are not even imagined. Even in all the literature and fiction of this world, no one has been able to imagine what God's prepared for those who love him. 2 Corinthians 4. This slight momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things seen, but to the things unseen. The Bible is chock-a-block full of the fact that we will encounter challenges and even suffering in our lives. That doesn't mean that we seek for suffering. If we go seek and pursue suffering, as many people have in the more sort of ascetic Christian traditions, these guys flog themselves, they do all sorts of things, then we're still not seeking after God. God doesn't say seek suffering. He doesn't say seek the better life. He says seek me. Seek first my kingdom, my righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. The old way of living is to take this word and to say, this word will give me the formula for life. Sometimes there's a very subtle difference when we talk about sowing and reaping. Dave actually just mentioned it now when we prayed over the finances. Galatians says, if you sow to the Spirit, you'll reap from the Spirit. If you reap from the flesh, you'll reap from the flesh. And so we say, that's the principle. If I sow kindness, I will reap kindness. If I sow goodness, I will reap goodness. But then we still could be reaping to the, sowing to the flesh, because if our hearts are to sow to reap what I want for the better life rather than the better hope, we are sowing to the flesh. And sometimes for me, I realize, whoa, I didn't realize I'm doing that. I didn't realize I'm using God's word as a way to actually get what I want, rather than use God's word as a way to get to him, to draw near to him. That's what it's there for. It's the word and the Spirit. We don't live by formulas, we live by the Spirit. And there are wonderful principles in here, and we must take them, we must use them, we must apply them. God wants us to. But by his Spirit, not by the letter, not by the old way, but by the new way of the Spirit. And that's what God wants us to do. And that's what we need to do. And as we get anxious about things in life, I sat on a day after New Year's, and I was like, oh my word, what must I do this year, you know? I need some things to happen. And I just don't know what to do. And I've done this and I've done that, and it's just not working out. God, what's happening? What are you doing, you know? God said, I'm on a different agenda. But a different agenda, Ryan. Where you are last year compared to where you are now this year in terms of closeness to me, very, very different. You know? God has got a very, very different agenda, and we can't understand it. We can't understand why God does certain things he does. And I don't think we'll ever understand, because we discussed this in Life Group on Thursday. We're just children. God has just made us children. We'll always be children. And you can't tell everything to a child. I think sometimes from God to us, in terms of the magnitude and everything that he's holding in his hand, it's like speaking to a frog and trying to explain, you know, E equals MC squared. What does that mean to a frog? And that's how we are, you know. We don't know everything. We don't understand how the universe works. We don't understand why God does certain things, why he allows certain things, why certain things happen. We just know that if God says to us, I want you to do this, we do it. But he must say it to us. We can't just take a word of principles and say, fine, this, that, David did this, and that's what I'm going to do, and expect it to work, because David was told by the Lord at that time. And the principle in that is that David has spoken to the Lord, You know, the Lord said to David this, and David did it. And if there's any lesson we can take from that, is that we must listen to the Lord and do what the Lord tells us to do, not just expect it to work out because somebody else did it. So, God has come to set us free from the fears of our anxieties by saying to us, pursue a better goal. By pursuing a better goal, those anxieties will go away. And I know that I don't really care about the anxiety. I just want the thing to happen and work. But God is saying to us, no, actually there is something better. You need to trust me in this. That if you have faith in me, that if you trust me, and if you change your goals and your pursuit to me, it's the greatest treasure. Where your heart, your treasure will be also. See, God is the greatest treasure. Is the most valuable thing or person in this universe. Then you won't worry about what we eat, what we drink, what we wear. God will sort those things out. He'll sort it out. We have a better goal and a better pursuit. Psalm 43 says, God is my exceeding joy. We say, God is my exceeding joy. Okay, we say, along with the psalmist, I didn't write the psalm down, I think it's Psalm 27. Your love, Lord, is better than life. Your love, Lord, is better than the blood flowing through my veins. It's better than my heart beating. It's better than the air that I breathe. It's better than the experiences I have with my family or my wife. It's better than that. Franz mentioned that scripture on Thursday night. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. Can we say that? If we can't, I believe God wants us to experience that. We have to just come to him and say, Lord, I want that. I'm going to throw away the pursuit of a better life and go for the better hope. 1 Peter 4 verse 12, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. It's totally normal. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. I'm often surprised when circumstances come, and I'm often surprised when I say to the Lord, Lord, you are my king, and then he behaves like my king. But God is something better, his glory. I just want to read out this quote from John Piper in his book. I love this little quote. It says, we are all starved for the glory of God, not self. No one goes to the Grand Canyon to increase self-esteem. Why do we go? Because there is greater healing for the soul in beholding splendor than there is in beholding self. Greater healing for the soul in beholding splendor than there is in beholding ourselves. Indeed, what could be more ludicrous in a vast and glorious universe like this than a human being on the speck called Earth standing in front of a mirror trying to find significance in his own self-image? It is a great sadness that this is the gospel of the modern world. We have a God to look at, splendorous, glorious, more glorious. All of his creation, all of our good experiences are just snippets of who he is and what he's like, what he's like to be with. Just little snippets, just little signs, just little thumbprints of God. We have this God to look at, and we want to stand in the mirror and look at our own self-image. We want to stand in the mirror and look at our own problems. But God is saying there's something bigger, more marvelous, more amazing to look at. Stare at that. There's greater healing for our soul in beholding splendor than there is beholding ourselves in the mirror. It makes no sense. It's madness for us to be looking at ourselves when there's God to look at and to gaze. And our prayer is, or my prayer is for us this morning, that we would really see God, that we would really see him with the eyes of our hearts, that we would make much of him. Mostly, completely, nothing else. We would see that he's more valuable than anything else. And if we haven't experienced that, if some of us is here today, we're like, that's madness. How could God be something? I just know God as words on this page. I just know God as something the preacher talks about. I don't know God like that. How could he be my exceeding joy? You're crazy. If that's you this morning, God is inviting you in to experience him and to enjoy him like that. He's called us to enjoy him, not to worry about all these things, but just to enjoy him. And that's what he's called us to. So I wonder if we could just quickly pray and do that. Father, you are more glorious than anything in this universe, Lord. All the galaxies and the stars and the little ants and the trees and the grass of the field and even those that we love, our families, Lord, are just snippets, are just glimpses of you, of your glory, the value of you, Lord God, that all points towards you, Lord, as the one to be enjoyed to the utmost, as the number one thing to pursue, the goal of our lives, the reason why we were created, was so that we could gaze upon your splendor and enjoy you and walk with you in the garden, the cool of the day. Lord, I pray, Father, for us this morning, Lord, that you would open the eyes of our hearts, that you would reveal to us your glory, that you would reveal to us that you are our exceeding joy, Lord, that all the longings, the deepest longings of our hearts are actually found in you, Lord. Not in all the formulas of this world, not in living a better life, but in you, Father. Open the eyes of our heart, Lord, to see you with wide eyes, Lord, with wide-eyed wonder, and to enjoy you. This morning, if you've never known Jesus Christ, you've never known him as your Lord and Savior, but you want to. You want to give up this old life of pressure, where it's constantly worrying about what you will eat, what you will drink, and take on a better hope where there is no pressure, there's just freedom in the Lord. Even when life gets hard. That's you this morning. Why don't you just come and have a chat to Dave, Krisha, down the front, or even to myself, Shannon, or to anyone who you might have come with this morning that you know are Christians. And just give your life to God this morning. I encourage you to do that. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you want.